Hey, welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I am super excited. Today, I get to interview Megan Hyatt Miller. So Megan is the chief operating officer at Michael Hyatt and Company. And I was talking to somebody on their team and they were like, do you want to interview Michael or do you want to interview Megan? I'm like, can I be selfish and ask for both? And they said yes. So Megan is coming on the show today and Michael will be here soon. So stay tuned. But Megan is also one of the creators of the bold line of the Full Focus Planner. If you have not seen the Full Focus Planner, they are beautiful. Here's the thing. I love planners and I feel like they're either pretty or they're functional. And I think this is the first one I've really had that fit both bills, right? They're gorgeous planners, but they're actually useful. I love them. She's also the co-host of the Lead to Win podcast, which is consistently featured in the top 100 of iTunes. As a leader of leaders, she is the grand architect of Michael Hyatt and Company's successful achievement-focused culture. You will hear some really cool things that they are doing, like unlimited paid time off. I hope none of my employees hear this or they are going to be running over there. Like really cool stuff where you're just going, I've never heard of this. Tell me more. That's the kind of stuff we get into. Michael Hyatt and Company was featured as one of Inc.'s 5,000 companies the last 3 years in a row. So when she's not taking the company to new heights, she's fully present at home with her husband and 5 children. Yes, we are going to get into all of that today. Stick around. This is a really great episode. Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over 1 million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple 7-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Foot Traffic. I am so excited. I get to have Megan Hyatt Miller here on the podcast today. Megan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Stacey. So glad to be here.
Yeah, I am a big fan of you and the company, the Full Focus Planner. So it's going to be such a good conversation today to dive in. I love chatting with other entrepreneurs, busy moms like yourself. So I'm excited to have you here.
Can't wait. Let's do it.
So before we dive in, can you just kind of give yourself a little background? Like what is your entrepreneurial journey looked like? Kind of just fill us in and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Well, I think I am a born entrepreneur, both by personality and because of my family. My dad's been kind of a serial entrepreneur all his life. And now we're in business together. We have a leadership development company called Michael Hyatt and Company. And he was the former CEO of Thomas Nelson Publishers, came out of the publishing world. And I joined him in 2012 in the business. Things have just kind of taken off from there. So it's been really fun to work together in a family business. That's been interesting. People ask about that all the time. Mm-hmm. But we're actually so similar that we're really natural business partners. We think a lot alike. And, it's just been neat to kind of both bring our unique strengths to the table as entrepreneurs, as business owners and leaders, and complement each other in that process and build what we have today. So we have the Full Focus Planner is one of our brands. That's a physical paper planner product that is a quarterly planner, and we sold about 1 million of those almost at this point,
and
which is crazy.
They are beautiful, you guys.
Thank you.
Gorgeous, gorgeous planners.
Thank you. That was a really important thing to me. And after we kind of created the concept, we really wanted to say, okay, how can we make this more fun, more beautiful? Yeah. Because I had actually women in particular coming up to me at events that we held saying, hey, we love the system of this planner, but could you make it, you know, more beautiful and more colors and all that. So I designed a line called the Bold Line for the Full Focus Planner. Then we also have an executive coaching program called Business Accelerator. And we also do corporate training based on the Full Focus Planner and some other topics as well. Yeah. So that's Michael Hyatt and Company.
I love it. Now, yeah. I think a lot of people that have personal brands, they always ask things like, what am I going to do with this? Like, I don't want to be the face of it forever and all of that. So, you know, knowing that you are now the CEO of Michael Hyatt and Company, right? I think it gives a lot of people listening a little like, okay, like somebody else could help me do this and we could build our team out. So when you joined back in 2012, I mean, obviously you've just started, you're working with your dad and the family, like the team, I should say.
Yep.
How long until you were like, I could do this. Like I could really do this and build this company.
Well, that's a great question. I'm actually the COO. So I will become the CEO in a couple of years. That's part of our succession plan.
Yeah.
Not there quite yet. So,
But love hearing the stages, right? Because you have to start somewhere.
Totally. So I originally came on and I was working part-time managing one of our brands that was a new brand. Okay. And over time, it's like every month, my role just mushroomed into more and more and more until eventually I was running the company. I'll tell you what though, and this I think will be relevant to your listeners. As a mom, so I have 5 kids, ages 19 to 1. 3 of whom are adopted, and my older 2 are my stepkids. We have a really interesting family. In 2011, we adopted 2 boys from Uganda who were 3 and 14 months, and that was right at the time that our business was taking off. And my dad came to me and he said, hey, I really want you to become the chief operating officer. I want you to take over the business. And I was like, that's great, but I actually have 2 kids with special needs now who need me home after school. You know, they had significant histories of trauma and all of that. And so I said, the only way I can do this is if I can be done when they get home from school at 3:30. And he said, fine, I don't care. You know, if you can make it work, if you can make the results work, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was a really interesting constraint for me to ultimately say, hey, I have this ambition. I want to do this. Like you said, I think I can do this, but it has to work for the rest of my life because my kids are so important to me. I'm not willing to sacrifice my family on the altar of my ambition. And at Michael Hyde and Company, we call that the double win, winning at work and succeeding at life. We've got to have both.
I love it. So what is a typical schedule? Like what's your work week look like?
Yeah. So my work week, I work from 9 to 3 every day. I spend Mondays and Tuesdays primarily in one-on-ones, including a meeting with our CFO, like a cash flow forecasting meeting. Then Wednesday is typically a no meeting day where I'm working on projects. So yesterday was Wednesday for us. And I was working on just kind of some big picture stuff related to strategic planning. And otherwise, we're just entering that process in this part of our year. And then normally I'm in meetings, group meetings or project related meetings on Thursday. And then I have external meetings on Friday. So in our full focus planner concept, we call that the ideal week.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my ideal week. And I would say most of the time, things pretty much align with that. And it works really well as opposed to like every day is just kind of a mishmash of all kinds of stuff. So I like that.
Yeah. I loved hearing like the rhythm and routine to what it is you're doing. And I think it's so important, you know, as we enter, you know, another, like who knows what will happen with COVID and things like that. So having that rhythm and routine is helpful. How have you managed, like what did March look like for you when you had this perfectly pretty, you know, and then all of a sudden maybe all the kids are at home. So like, what did that look like for you?
Well, probably like it looked for everybody else. It was mayhem for a little while. So, you know, I think it's important whenever, you know, sometimes you hear people talking on podcasts and they act like their life is perfect. And even though things are crazy, you know, they weren't interested. No, March was nuts. You know, that was just like all hands on deck. Just trying to kind of figure out, okay, how are we going to do this with all the kids home and figuring out, you know, virtual learning, all that kind of stuff. And it was really stressful. Mm-hmm. But I do think eventually we found our sea legs. One of the things we did in our company is that we introduced an experiment of moving our entire company to a 9 to 3 day.
Oh.
And the reason that we did that is because, you know, you probably experienced this yourself with your team. We had people who were really struggling, including everybody was struggling with just the stress of what was happening. And a 6-hour day felt like a 12-hour day. You know, the idea of working 8 hours in the middle of all this or 10 or whatever was just too much. So we cut it back and we're still in the process of kind of refining that and making it work for everybody. But we've decided to keep it and are continuing to iterate and evolve toward that. Because what we found is particularly for our parents with kids, and we have a lot of women, we have 53% of our team are women.
Oh, wow.
That, you know, especially for moms, that really helps, you know, to not have to choose between the after school activities and really making a difference in your business. So,
I love that. Okay, so out of the full focus planner, what are like your favorite systems and things you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, the first thing that I love are the daily pages. Okay. And this is like deceptively simple, but it's so powerful. When you open up the daily pages, and this would just say like, you know, Monday at the top, what you're going to see is you're going to put your schedule in for the day, but you're also going to identify your 3 most important tasks for the day. We call that your daily big 3. And I love this because most of us were taught to make to-do lists that are just like continuously growing all every day, all week long. They just get bigger and bigger. Every time you check something off, you add 3 more things. Not in our system. In our system, our question for you every day is, what are the most high leverage, meaning you get a disproportionate return for the investment of your time and energy, activities that you could do that are really going to move the needle in your business, that are going to move you closer to your goals? What are those things? And so that's what we call the weekly big or the daily big three.
Yeah.
We also have the weekly preview, which is the part where you're kind of looking back on the week. So I do this normally on Sunday evenings, you know, I'm looking back at the week, what were my wins? What could go better? What do I want to change for the coming week? What do I have coming up? What important projects are on deck? And then what are my weekly big three outcomes that I need to achieve to make progress toward the goals that I'm focused on for the quarter? And so, sorry if you hear that in the background, I have a guy with a weed eater, right?
Can't hear, you're good.
Working from home. But anyway, you know, I love that concept of the weekly big three because then you know where to focus. I think so many of us are just scattered with 1,000 things that feel like they're top priority. And really, it's the few important things that are going to move the needle in our business and our personal life for that matter.
Absolutely. So if somebody listening is like, oh, I like this concept. I want to do this, but I want my team to get on board. That's another thing is I think everybody knows this. Everybody's picking the daily three, right? And then my team's got their, you know, 72 things in their inbox and you're like, no. So how do you get others on your team to help kind of stay productive like that?
Well, I think that's a great question. And honestly, it's a challenge for every small business owner and every leader. I mean, this is something we're all facing all the time. How do you get buy-in? I have found what's really successful is to set everything up like an experiment. This is something that my dad kind of started doing a while ago, and we do it all the time. And honestly, people will get on board for anything if it's an experiment and they feel like ultimately it's not a permanent decision if it doesn't work out. So what I would do is I would say, hey guys, we're going to do an experiment. We're going to all get the full focus planner and we're just going to every day. I don't know if you use this. We use Slack in our business. Okay. That's how we communicate internally. Maybe you use email or text, whatever you use. But every day, let's just share with each other what our daily big three are. And let's just have like a little kind of accountability thing that we're going to do. And let's just see what we think about that after 30 days. Just set it up like a low-risk experiment. And I think what you'll find is that creates a barrier of entry that's really low for people. And then they're willing to get all in because it doesn't feel like they have to decide if they like it or not. They just have to try it. And I have found that is a great way to get people on board with stuff. And rarely do we try things as an experiment and then go back on them later. Usually they stick. You know?
Absolutely. No, I love that idea. So we use Monday.com and I'm already envisioning we could have a board called the Daily Big Three.
Absolutely.
Everybody chimes in the morning, like, what do we got going on the Friday? When you do your, when you do the next week, are you doing it on Friday as a team? Are you doing it on Monday? What does that look like?
Typically people are doing it. I would say most of our people are doing it on Sunday evening.
Okay.
So that because it really includes both your personal and professional life. Most people like that. I always say what I like about that is that's the way that I'm able to sleep on Sunday night. You know, that like dread kind of feeling sometimes you have on Sunday night where you can't go to sleep because your brain's running and you're like, wait, what do I have tomorrow? To me, the weekly preview process, having reviewed your calendar, having identified your weekly big three, that's what enables me to just relax and rest and get a great night's sleep on Sunday night. So most of our team are doing it on Sunday night. I would say some probably do it on Friday as well. But then every team kind of has an individual way that they're sharing those on, you know, in the coming week, but it's really helpful. You know, I think that's a powerful practice. It's so simple, but it's so powerful.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as somebody who has people on their team, again, it's like, we just assume everybody knows this. Everybody must be doing this. And if you could just teach them the way that you want it to be done or the way that you're finding yourself most effective, efficient, and all of that things, especially, during COVID, you know, we've had to figure out as the entrepreneur how to manage this, but sometimes we forget to stop and tell, you know, our employees, our contractors, hey, I've tried this and it's really helping. Maybe try this too and see, like you said, an experiment. I love that word.
Well, I love what you just said, Stacey, because I think that it's easy to forget as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as a leader, we have a lot of control, right? We can make a lot of decisions. We can see the external circumstances and then we can do something about it. But the people on our team don't necessarily feel that same level of control. And what I love about these very simple practices in the full focus planner is that they give people a sense of control. And I literally say, you know, I'm holding my planner right now if you're listening. You know, this is like a sense of control you can hold in your hands.
Yeah.
And I think that's really valuable for people right now. We've seen our sales really go up. And I think that that's because people are like, hey, I don't know what's going on outside. You know, we got the election, we got the economy, blah, 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 all these things. But I can decide what I'm doing today. And that gives people an extraordinary sense of certainty and control in a, in a time when that's kind of hard to come by.
Yeah. And I think too, we have so much to do and you have to be okay with just going, but what are the big three things that I'm going to do? And if I only get that done today, I'll still feel good about my work day.
Absolutely. It's kind of like redefining the win. And it's sort of that Pareto principle of 80% of the results come from 20% of the work. Yeah. And I think that's very true about our to-do list. It's not about getting all the things done. It's about getting the right things done that really move the needle and then just letting other stuff go. You know, there's so much that we think we have to do that we really don't have to do, or we could automate it or delegate or something else and free ourselves up. So I think that's the secret.
I love it. So what do you do though with the 32 things that are really on your to-do list if you're only putting the big three down?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you can kind of keep a backlog of those things that you can look at and you can, they're candidates for the next day.
Yeah.
It helps you stay realistic with what you can humanly accomplish in a day. You don't actually need to do 32 things every day to be effective. Nobody does in their job. That's just like that's not reality. I think that sometimes it's like making the list helps us have a sense of control because we don't really feel like we're accomplishing anything.
Yeah.
Instead, if we accomplish the big things, I think we'll get the same payoff emotionally, psychologically, and you know, in terms of our results that all those things are giving us. So a lot of times I have kind of just like a little list, you know, in the Full Focus Planner, there's a place for other tasks besides your big three. And I have those and they're great if you get them done, but they're not mission critical to your business. And what we want to make sure of is you're not doing the piddly stuff at the expense of the important stuff. And that's why we have the daily and the weekly big threes.
Yeah, because you can check off seven things and really they didn't need to happen today. They didn't really move the needle in your business. You're just wasting your time.
And sometimes they're a means of procrastination. I had this happen to me earlier today. I had a couple of, you know, really, I had a really a big two, not really a big three. And I had a bunch of other little things on there. And I was really tempted to do the little things. And it was the fact that I had identified, here are my daily big three. You know what? No matter what, before I'm done working today at 3 o'clock, I am getting these things done. And that kind of focus helped reorient me out of the procrastination.
I love that. And I like when you said that those can be like a candidate for future. Like, they're a maybe, but like, we'll see what happens, but they're not getting on that list today.
That's right.
What would you say has been your biggest struggle for you as a woman in this industry?
I think probably giving myself permission to define success on my own terms. Mm-hmm. So I remember back when I started working with my dad at Michael Hyatt and Company, and especially as our business grew and I built a whole executive team under me and many of my direct reports were men, I thought, are they going to respect me if I talk about my kids, if I prioritize being off to go pick up my kids, or I have one child with medical special needs, if I'm, you know, in the hospital with him and therefore I can't attend something or whatever, you know, does that kind of compromise my position of power in this role? And I really had to wrestle with that, as well as allowing myself to kind of be as big, and I use that as a figurative word, you know, as big as I really am. So to kind of just own my space and say, listen, I'm doing this on my own terms. I'm not doing it exactly how my dad's done it or how anybody else would do it. I'm going to do it in a way that's congruent with my values, with the things that I care about. And ultimately, I want to look back and say, I did it in a way that I feel proud of and that I loved and that enriched my life and helped other people. And that's going to look different for everybody. So I think that wasn't so much the kind of tactical parts of business or leadership. It was really more of like the head game of giving myself permission to do it on my own terms, and that would work. And it has worked, and but it has been an ongoing challenge.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny because a lot of times it's just in our head. No one's ever said anything. Nope. You're assuming they're thinking that, but you don't really know. Goodness, yes. It's crazy how that happens, but we self-sabotage so much.
Yeah, I feel like that has been the hardest work. The leadership journey between my ears has been way harder than the one, you know, out in front of me. And I've really invested in coaching and other things to support that, because I do think that's the game to win. And I think oftentimes women in particular, we beat ourselves up for like, why am I insecure? Or why don't I have all the confidence I need? Or, you know, whatever it is. And really, those things are totally normal. And there are really great solutions for all the things that we face, but we kind of have to give ourselves permission to work through it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I actually grew up in a family business myself. My grandfather started the company decades ago, and I witnessed my parents work together. My grandparents work together. Now my spouse works with me in my businesses. Wow. And it's interesting. And my sister works with me in my studios. But I want to ask you, like, what has been the hardest part of working with family for you?
Well, I mean, I would say two things. Number one, just kind of establishing a standard for communication, that we were going to be really honest, that we were going to have really direct communication, that we're going to have really professional communication. I think we've done a great job of that, but we were very intentional from the beginning. People, literally, I never have an event where I'm speaking or, you know, a coaching thing that we're hosting where people don't come up and ask me about this. And I always say, if your relationship is good from the beginning, this could be great. It'll make it more of what it is. But if it's bad, like, run. Do not do it.
Okay, right? Okay. That is such a great way to explain it.
Yeah.
Because you're right. It's just going to amplify what is already going on.
Yeah, exactly. So I always say that. The other thing I think that we've done is we have put really hard boundaries around our conversations around work. So my husband is one of our executives. My sister is our social media manager.
We have a real family business.
We have about 40 employees. So it's mostly not family, but still. And what that means is I have four sisters. So only one other one works in the business, and all the husbands and kids and all that. We have just decided when we're not at work, we're not talking about work. You know, we don't talk about work when we have a family dinner on a Sunday night. We don't talk about work when we're at the lake, you know, hanging out together on the weekends. We don't do that because it's just unfair to the other people. It kind of creates like an us versus them mentality. Mm-hmm. And what I never want it to feel like to my sisters or to other people is they're kind of on the outside, and like, Dad and I have this little thing over here. We do have this little thing over here, but like outside of work, we're not in business partner mode. We're in family mode. And that's really important. And even with my husband, I mean, we have the same thing. You know, we have a hard line. Okay, like, we're done with work. We're not talking about work. It's the weekend. We're not brainstorming projects, you know, and all that. And I think it's important because you hear a lot from couples who work together, or people have family businesses. They just don't have any boundaries, and their relationship totally becomes the business. And that's just not healthy.
No, right. It's like, that's all you talk about all the time. And there's nothing there besides that. So I love that you're kind of saying, like, hat off, right? Work hat off, family hat on.
Right.
And I think that kind of goes with being a mom and being in business, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's really important. You know, similarly, I don't want my kids thinking all I do is talk about work. I mean, I'm a multidimensional person. I love my business. I love the work we do. I want them to be excited about it. I want them to learn from my entrepreneurial journey. My hope is that at least some of my kids will become entrepreneurs too, you know, but I don't want them to feel like our family and the business are the same thing. They're not. Like, we need to have family time that is not about the business, and I need to be interested in them outside of, you know, anything related to the business.
Yeah, and you need a break for yourself. You need to let your brain not think about work.
Totally. That's really, I think, one of the biggest reasons that we emphasize at Michael Hyde & Company and with a full focus planner, this idea of the double win, winning at work and succeeding at life. One of the reasons is you don't want to get to the end of your life and have regrets that you kind of didn't attend to the things that really matter outside of work, your relationships, your health, you know, those kinds of things in order to succeed. But you also, if you're going to make your greatest contribution in your business, if you're going to innovate and be creative and be inspiring to your team, you have to recharge, you have to rejuvenate. It's just impossible to refuel on the same thing that you need to give out all the time. You have to do something else.
How do you stress that to your team members? Like, how do you make sure, because you want them to be like driven and really help you and grow the business, but how do you also make sure they know it's time to recharge and rest and
Well, I think it's challenging. I mean, I do not think it happens by accident. One of the things that I found over the years is that when you have people that are coming from a corporate culture, you know, so like, that's not necessarily always where we've come from as entrepreneurs or business owners. Many of us have been entrepreneurs our whole life. And so we've always kind of made the rules. A lot of people have not been in that environment, and they've been in cultures that said, if you're not on 24/7, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to miss something. You're going to be looked down on. You're going to be questioned. And so they have this kind of like anxious hum in the background about that. So I think it's partly re-education. It's really about having a vision for a holistic approach to people, that it's not just about what they can do at work. It's also about their work supporting their life, and that it's kind of this beautiful circle that reinforces itself. You know, if they have a great personal life, that's going to benefit the business. And if they have a great professional experience, that's going to benefit their personal life. And it just around and around it goes. I think it comes down to vision. And then it comes down to like touch points, you know, monitoring things like PTO. Are they getting enough? At our company, we actually have unlimited PTO. And I get a report on a monthly basis from my HR director about my direct reports. How much PTO have they taken year to date? Is it enough? You know, in my mind, if they're not on track, they don't have planned at least 3 weeks of PTO a year, I'm concerned. Like, I know that's not enough. Like, they're going to be drained and burned out. And so I think you kind of have to decide what you're going to reward in your business. If you're high-fiving people because they worked, you know, till 10 o'clock or they worked all weekend, you're going to get more of what you reward. And Stacey, this is a really important point. If you don't rejuvenate yourself, if you don't take time off that's unplugged, if you don't take vacations, if you work nights and weekends, whatever you do will become the standard for what your people think is the behavioral standard. That's whatever you do is the benchmark. And so that's a hard one to swallow as a business owner and a leader.
Yeah. And I just said to my assistant was here this morning, and I said, now Monday, I'm going to be checked out and you can be checked out too. Like, no one's expecting you to be an email. No one's waiting for a response on Labor Day. So just even restating that, because you might think, oh, but my work is going to back up and I have to do this and I have to do that. Yeah, absolutely.
I tell my team a lot, guys, we're not saving lives here, you know, like, which probably sounds kind of flippant, but like, no one is literally going to die on the operating table at Michael Hyde and Company if we don't answer their customer experience email, you know, over the weekend. Like, it's all okay. Like, we're selling planners, we're selling coaching, like, everything's going to be okay if it's not an immediate response. And I think there's a level of humility for all of us, and especially as business owners, that's helpful to remember. Like, we're not, most of us, some of us, some of your listeners are actually saving lives. That's a different situation, but you still have to figure it out there too. But, you know, just to remember, like, people matter most. Mm-hmm. And that's the long game.
Yeah. I own two performing arts academies, and we hired an office manager who came from a dental practice. I made a comment like, now if it's an emergency, you can call me. And she's like, when would it ever be an emergency? Like, I came from, you know, like, people in like screaming pain. And she's like, I just can't even imagine an emergency in a dance studio. But in my mind, I'm like, well, oh, okay, you're right. Like, I guess that isn't actually an emergency. It could wait till Monday.
I think mostly we just don't stop and think about how mission critical or urgent is this thing right now. We're just so in this like immediate mindset that everything is right now, and it's really not. And that's there's great freedom in giving yourself permission to examine that and make a different decision.
Now, you brought up paid time off, unlimited paid time off. And I'm sure somebody's like, what? I'm going to work for them. Okay, tell me how this works, where you're trying to set this culture and this amazing environment, but you don't want to be taken advantage of. So what does that look like?
Well, I get asked this question a lot, and we actually got this idea from a client years ago who had a big tech startup with about 700 employees. And we thought, okay, if he can figure it out at that scale, we can probably figure it out. And we asked him, has it ever been abused? And he said, the only time it was ever abused was with someone that they should have never hired in the first place. And I think that's key. So if you're hiring people who, as Dan Sullivan says, have batteries included. So these are like self-motivated, self-propelled people. We're not talking about people that you got to be constantly behind and like pushing.
I love that batteries included.
I know. Isn't that great? I like that too. You're not pulling these people or pushing them forward. You're kind of pulling them back sometimes, pulling on the reins a little bit. So assuming that, I think that is an important assumption to say has to be part of this. If that's true for you, then what I think is you're giving people autonomy. And what we know about autonomy is that it's one of the most significant factors in engagement and in work satisfaction. So this is a great way to do it. So basically what we do, our policy is that you can take up to 2 weeks at a time, has to be approved by your supervisor. It's not like willy-nilly, like, hey, I'm just not going to work for 2 weeks. You know, that's not happening. We have a you know, an HR platform called Zenefits. Everybody puts their PTO requests in there. It's very formal, you know, works out. And then, you know, that's all you have to do. You just have to submit your request. It's either approved or declined. And we probably approve with 90% of them. You know, sometimes there's some negotiation around timing, depending on what's happening department by the supervisor. But we really haven't had any issues at all. I mean, I would say the only issue we have is trying to get people still to take enough time off. And I had to start saying, guys, 3 weeks is the minimum. If you're not taking 3 weeks, it's not enough. And there's just some people who are wired to sort of be tough on themselves and, you know, kind of like hard in a way that's not helpful. And so I think sometimes some mentoring is helpful. But I would say what I'm constantly working on is the opposite of what you would think, which is still encouraging people to take enough time, because we do have a really driven team, like you said, Stacey.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, when you said unlimited, some people just want to hear, but what are you hoping for? Like, give me a number to ballpark. Right. So when you say to somebody minimum 3 weeks, you're going to get the person to go, perfect, I'm just going to take 3 weeks. Sounds good to me, right? So I like that you give them a number too, because some people, they don't want to step on your toes either. They want to do
exactly. You know, we also offer every 3 years, if you have three continuous years of service with us, you get a 1 month sabbatical in the summer. And we've been doing this for years. And I tell you what, this is such a great investment. The logistics of it can be a little challenging. You know, you have to like kind of work through how it all works, but we have now like 10 people a year going and doing this at a time. And including our chief sales officer who went this year and had his biggest month ever while he was gone. That's a great testament, I think. But what people gain from that kind of time off, to your earlier point about being rejuvenated and being creative, so you have something to bring back, they come back like totally recharged. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, and that's something that my dad started doing himself about 10 years or more ago, and that I'm doing as well. And I just think when, and he's doing it on an annual basis, when people are doing this, first of all, I mean, they just become lifers for you. You know, they're just
how else could I
possibly do this?
Right. You
know? So that's another neat thing kind of on this same vein.
Yeah. You're giving it something so like too good to be true that they will never want to leave you.
Exactly.
You're encouraging that loyalty by saying we're rewarding you for 3 years here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that. All right. As we wrap up, what do you guys have coming up? Like where is your focus for the end of the year and wrapping up 2020 strong? Anything that we need to know about?
Well, we have a couple of exciting things coming out. We have just released recently a pocket edition of our planner. So we have kind of our original version, if you were an early user of it. Then we have the bold line, which you were talking about, that I created. Then we created a small version called the pocket. We have an executive line, and we're just about to introduce what we're calling the coil, which is a couple of the colors in the bold line with a spiral, a matte gold spiral binding, which I'm really excited about. I love a good spiral. So I can't wait for that. We just continue to expand that line and people are loving it. So if you don't already have a Full Focus planner, please go to fullfocusplanner.com and check it out. I think you're going to be excited to see what you find there.
I've been giving them as gifts to people. Like to me, it's like, who doesn't love a good planner, right? So that's my new go-to gift.
That's
all
awesome. Right.
Megan, thank you so much for being here. Where can people find the planner, find you guys? Where are you online?
Yeah, so the planner is fullfocusplanner.com, and our primary website is michaelhyattandcompany.com.
Perfect. All right, thank you again for being here. This was so much fun chatting with you today.
Thanks, Stacey.
Hey, before you go, have you considered joining us in our next 30-day boot camp? If you are loving the Foot Traffic podcast, then you will love the Beginner Bootcamp, where we help you build your first marketing funnel in just 30 days, and it's only $97. Hurry and register at stacytushel.com/bootcamp to sign up for our next live bootcamp starting on the 1st.